you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
As Pastor Aldrich mentioned just a little while ago, that last Sunday was Legacy Sunday, or as he calls it, Legacy Sunday. It is more fun to say it that way. I'm gonna give him that. It was Legacy Sunday. We asked our church family. We said, guys, we're just asking you to not give to the church, give through the church. We have vetted out organizations, and we have found needs, and we have found people, and we found stuff going on that we just know that could use some support, that could use a bump. And so I asked, and we prepped you for about a month. We were talking about, hey, it's coming, so just prayerfully consider what God would have you give. And what I asked for was 100% participation, if you remember that. I said, I just want everybody to be a part of this at the level that God leads you. So if it's $1, thank you for your generosity. You know, if it's $1 million, thank you for your generosity. Whatever comes in, we're just giving the whole thing away. This was our heart. And so we received our legacy offering last Sunday morning. And I got to tell you, it was unbelievable, the response from you. And I want to say this before I even say anything else. I want to say that you're already generous. So I didn't even feel like I had to like encourage you to be generous. I just encouraged you to be you, and you guys were just you. It was unbelievable. Honestly, the measure of your generosity truly astounds me. The way that you give, all the time, allows us to serve people to the very, very best of our ability. But you guys killed it, all right? You absolutely smashed it. Last year in our legacy offering, which was the first annual, let me say it that way. So we do some things annually as a church, and this is one of them. And last year we raised about $27,000, and we just gave it all away. It was really awesome. It was amazing. And so this year, in preparation, we built a strategy and we had an idea. And so we had we preloaded. We said, all right, we're just going to build a strategy to distribute $19,000. That's what we're going to do. And then if it's more, then we have more organizations that we're going to add, and then we're going to increase numbers across different organizations. So we like have a set number here, but if it's more, we'll just bump their number higher, so forth and so on. And then different people. So we knew some needs within the church. And so you guys want to know how much Church on the Rock pooled together for Legacy Offering last Sunday? You guys ready? You guys brought $45,510 into our legacy offering. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, honestly. When I got the totals, the text said, please sit down. And I did. I said, let me sit. I was staggered. I expected generosity. I don't know that I expected it in that kind of a measure. And it was unbelievable the way that you guys gave. So here's what I want to say. We went with some cameras, and we did some distributions, and we caught some of that on film. All right. And so hear my heart here. All the only place that we're talking about what we did is here in our house, and here's why: because you did it. And I think it's important, church, that you know like what you've been contributing to, what you've been a part of. I think it's important that like we made this big ask, like let's do something. So I wanted to be able to report back to you some of the things that you did. I mean, truly, like together, way more than I think any of us could have done by ourselves. And so we went and made some distributions. We had a lot of fun, and we captured all of that. Not all of it, but a portion of it on film. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just sit back, relax. I want you to check out some of the fun that we had being generous to some people and some organizations within our community. Check this out. Church, we are so excited. We're so excited because of your generosity in our legacy offering just a few days ago. Today's the day. Today is the big day where we get to go and give some checks away. I'm standing with Pastor Aldrich, Pastor Anthony. So excited. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Hey guys, we're at the Drop-In Center of St. Augustine, and what they do is that they help men and women with behavioral health care. Let's go bless the socks off of them.
Well, Ms. Dwan, we're just so grateful for what you do in the community. And it's really on behalf of the generous members of Church on the Rock and in the name of Jesus Christ, we just want to present you with this gift.
Thank you very much.
What's up, everybody? We are here at Alpha Omega Miracle Home. This is one of our favorite ministries that we partner with. They do amazing things throughout our community, and we're super, super excited because we get to bless them today in Jesus' name. Let's go inside. Let's meet the team. Come on.
So, Lisa, you know, just first of all, how much I love you and just our friendship and the history that you and I have. From me digging ditches on the first ever Alpha Omega building to standing in this amazing conference room, just what God has done in this organization, in this ministry, and truly the way that you guys are looked at as one of the, what I consider one of the best nonprofits in our community, what you guys do in our city, and I know that you're so well respected by so many people. And so we're honestly honored and proud to just partner with you, partner with this organization. And so on behalf of the generous members of Church on the Rock, we just want to present you with this gift from our legacy offer.
Thank you so much.
All right, what's up, Church on the Rock? So I'm here with Tommy and Barbara Lynch. Some of you will recognize them from our kids' church room. But they do so much more for our church than just that. One of the things that they do is they take part in a mission into the Philippines that we're very, very involved in. And it's really a two-leg mission. One of the things that they do to serve the rural communities of the Philippines is that they plant farms and they teach the people of the Philippines to how to really kind of care for themselves and generate a livelihood of their own. It's really one side of their mission. The other side is providing safe water. And this is really where Tommy and Barbara come in a big way. Tommy is an expert well driller. And so we're believing God for all the funds to be raised for them to provide every resource they need to be able to put clean water wells in the ground for these people to be able to water these farms, to be able to do, to serve villages and communities so one well can impact hundreds and hundreds of people. When we received our legacy offering this year, it was in our hearts already. Like we just said, man, we know that we're going to invest into that mission. And so on behalf of this amazing church that we're all a part of, and because of their generosity, what I want to do is present to you guys today two checks. And each of these checks, one represents farms, one represents safe water. And so I just want to present this to you on behalf of Church on the Rock.
Can we open it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Praise God.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. We love you guys. We truly believe in what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you, Church on the Rock, for your generosity. I mean, safe water for children to drink is just really something.
Hey, Church, we're at the Wildflower Clinic, and we're with Chris, the executive director, and team, phenomenal team. And we just want to let you guys know that on behalf of the generous members of Church on the Rock and in the name of Jesus Christ, we just want to present you guys with this gift as a thank you for what you guys do in our community. It really makes a huge difference, and we appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
What's up, Church? So excited to be back. It's day number two of distributing our legacy offering that you so generously gave this past Sunday. I'm standing here with a good friend of mine, John Clifton, who's the director of Somebody Cares St. Augustine. What a privilege we have to be here today, because recently we did a Coats for Kids collection, and this is distribution day for them. We're standing with hundreds and hundreds of coats here that will go to some of the less fortunate students among our community. And this is one of the great opportunities we had to really show our partnership and really express the heart of what you get to be a part of and the impact that you're having in our community. And so on behalf of the generous members of Church on the Rock, I just want to present you with a gift from our legacy offering this past weekend. We believe in you, believe in your ministry, believe in what you're doing here. And so you're free to look in there.
Whoa.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Church, we're at SAES, also known as St. Augustine Youth Services, and what they do is that they provide transitional housing to young boys age 6 to 17 in the foster care system. They also bring their young boys to Church on the Rock, so we're just so excited to be able to bless them today for our legacy offering. Let's go do this, guys. And we're with Chelsea, the development director here. And Chelsea, we just wanted to let you know that on behalf of the generous members of Church on the Rock and in the name of Jesus Christ, we just appreciate all that you do for our community. We want to present SAES with this gift.
Thank you. This is incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Church
on
the Rock,
for
what you guys do. It's our joy.
All right, Church, so we are here in front of the local coffee shop,
We had the best opportunity ever because a friend of mine by the name of Pastor Arley asked me to meet him today for coffee. What he doesn't know is that we're bringing him a legacy gift here today. So their church is about to plant next month. They're going to start for have their very first service next month. And so what we're here to do today is make an investment into their church and then make an investment into his life and his family directly. Come on, let's go do it. All right, so I'm at a local coffee shop, and I'm with one of my newest friends, Pastor Arley Whitlow. And so in my pocket are two checks. One of these checks is for you and your church, and we just want to invest in your Roots Church and pour into your launch. And the other check is for you and your home. And so you're not allowed to use the other check for anything other than your family. So this is for you, your wife, your kids. And so on behalf of the generous members of our church, we believe in you, we believe in Roots Church, and we just want to give you a blessing. Love you, man.
Dude, I am speechless right now. I am shaking. Dude, that's crazy, man. Thank you, man.
Isn't giving fun? Isn't it fun? And just being able to make an impact and make a positive difference in people's lives, it really is a joy. And so here's what I wanted to say, that I want you to hear, really just hear the heart from me about this gift, is that the Bible says don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing in giving. And so there's like this little inner tension, like, well, how much should we really talk about this or promote this or whatever, right? And so here's what I want you to hear me say, is that we wanted to give a report back to you that, like, this is what it looks like. This is what you're doing. This is what together we are a part of. So when you're on your grind 9 to 5 and you're not thinking of Sunday and you're not thinking of church, like, the ministry is moving all of the time. And so we just wanted to give you a glimpse of what it looks like and how it transpires and how we connect to others, right? It's really fun to be a part of. What I also want you to know is this, that even though that we collected more than $45,000, we will distribute nearly $50,000. And so we just had margin in other areas and decided, let's just keep giving and let's just bless more people. We know of a lot of needs that we are quietly meeting that we will never show. And it's not because we want to hide it from you. It's because we just want to do the right hand, left hand thing. And we just want to be really quiet and just say, look, we know things. There's felt need that we can go touch it. We can go heal it. We can go make an impact on it. And so just know that you're, the leadership of the church has a heart and an eye on just what's going on, not only within our family, but in things that our family touches and connects to. And so we just have decided, God, let's just be generous and just quietly, let's go do that left hand thing and just bless other people. So you're meeting a lot of needs that we're not going to promote and we're not going to talk about, simply because we just believe that it gives them more honor and it really provides them more dignity to just receive it quietly. It means the world, but we just won't display it for you. Does that make sense, everybody? So, yeah. So listen, one more time, would you just give it up for the person next to you and thank God for the impact our church is having. Thank you guys for your generosity. It's so, so amazing. It's so amazing. It really, really is. Well, listen, we also have, as you can see, baptisms going on this Sunday. We have a lot to celebrate. We're celebrating what God's doing in our house through generosity, and then we get to celebrate people taking next steps in their journey of faith. So I've prepared to make room for this stuff, like to make room for celebrating. I've prepared what I'm calling a message mini. It's just small, all right? It's short. It's going to kick off our series that we are going to start today called Path to Peace. As we think about this time of year, you know, it's this double-sided coin in a lot of ways, because there's all the festivities, there's the fun, there's, you know, all the Christmas stuff that sort of comes with the season and the holidays and snowmen and, come on, right, and gift giving. And how many of you guys are big Christmas song people? You're like all about Christmas music's been playing forever. Oh my gosh, how many of you guys are like me? And you're not. Okay, all right, yeah. I don't know why. It's not that I don't like Christmas. That's not the case. But how many of you guys have seen the best two Christmas movies of all time? Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2. Come on, where are you at? Yeah, right? And if you remember in Home Alone 2, they're going to South Florida for Christmas, and Kevin is mad because he makes this statement, who wants to celebrate Christmas in a tropical state? Come on, y'all remember that? And I'm like, yes, I just struggle. Anyway, it's going to be 80 degrees tomorrow where I'm going to be. 80. It's December. It's hard for me to get into the... Anyway, but I did put on a Christmas-esque sort of shirt. I'm wasting time. Here's my point, that one side of it is all about that, while the other side of it can be very dark. And very lonely. It can be very difficult for a lot of people to go through this season. And I think what a lot of people are looking for is peace. And Jesus is referred to by Isaiah the prophet as the Prince of Peace. But Jesus was born in one of the most turmoil times in all of human history. And when he left, it was still pretty crazy. So how is he the Prince of Peace? And how do I find peace? So I just want to look at it. We're going to do, again, a message mini, all right? Let's go. If you have your sermon note insert and want to pull it out, you can write a few things with me this morning. Let's go to my first verse found in Luke chapter 1. This verse is capturing a prophecy that's being given about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist's father is making a declaration, like a prophetic statement, because John the Baptist was born barely before Jesus. And the verse 76 or 7, you can check it out for yourself. The Bible actually says right here in this prophecy that John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord. And then John the Baptist, if you read in the book of John, he actually declares it himself, that I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. I love John the Baptist, just his whole mantra and the whole story of his life, because I think it's very indicative of the body of Christ and what we should be. I believe that we have a call by God as believers. If you're a Christ follower, I think we're called by God to prepare the way for God to move. Amen. This is why we produce services. We're trying to create atmospheres. We're trying to prepare the way. We know that people come to things like this. So man, let's prepare the way for the Spirit of God to move in people's lives where they couldn't get other places. Or maybe this is why we would be generous and we would give. We just want to prepare the way for people's hearts to open to receive the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And so I believe we're called to have this prepare the way sort of way about us as Christians. And so this prophecy is being given by Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, about his coming and about the coming of Jesus. And so we're going to pick up right here that he says, because of God's tender mercy, I just love that so much, by the way, his tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. And he's speaking of Jesus, like he's coming. It's going to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, which is a literal place. This is not figurative at all. This is an actual place that King David speaks of, and he speaks of here. And it's going to guide us, watch this, guide us into the path of peace. Amen. So Jesus is this light, and it's about to break upon people's darkness. And his role is to guide us into peace. And I think when we think peace, I think oftentimes we have a misconcepted mindset about what peace can be. Okay? And I want to be thorough, but I want to be efficient. And I especially think it's easy to get a wrong mindset of peace in America. I do. Because I think oftentimes we have, to the best that I know how to describe it, an Americanized mindset. What we have is a kickback, put your feet up, take it easy mindset. Everybody's working to retire. It's just the way it goes. Like, be smart when you're young, make good investments, get the right job, get the right pension, get the right stuff, because eventually the idea is to get all the stuff, and then once you have all the stuff, to be able to relax and to be able to rest and be able to enjoy the fruit of your labor. And I think that oftentimes this starts to merge into our spiritual lives. And I think that too oftentimes that we buy into a mindset that when I step into a relationship with Jesus and when I step into this thing where I'm trusting God with my life and with my future, and I recognize that I'm speaking to the Christ followers in the room and it might not land on everybody, but oftentimes we get into this mindset that when I step into this to this good God thing, this love of God and this heavenly Father, that now everything, I'll start getting all the stuff that I need and I'll start being able to put my feet up I'll be able to rest in him, and I'll be able to relax. I'll be able to enjoy what he gives me and his blessing. And then all of a sudden, we find out that life, real life, is still happening to us. And if we are not careful, if we buy into a carnal way of thinking about a relationship with Jesus, then we will find disappointment in the realities of the spiritual thing that we're walking in. Because I want to retire, and I want it easy, and I need a bonus, and I need more stuff. God, give me, give me, give me. And we buy into this mindset, and then what we recognize is that people still die. And stuff still breaks, and people still get fired, and things burn down, and relationships come apart. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we start to wonder, like, well, God, what's going on? Because I'm trusting you with my life, and now all of a sudden, I'm still in the same kind of a fray that I was when I wasn't walking with you. I still have this challenge and this stuff and this mess going on. I mean, I'm about to go through my first Christmas without my loved one. This is the first time I've not had this, and now all of a sudden, it's supposed to be the season of joy and happiness and peace, but I've got turmoil going on the inside. We have turmoil all around us all the time. We have people searching for inner peace. They're looking for something that gives them hope and joy and the mindset of a future. And if we're not careful, we will misplace what this path to peace really looks like. And so the world has painted a picture, and I even think that the carnal world has painted a picture of what it should look like in a relationship with Jesus. And when it doesn't quite measure up with their perspective, we start looking to God like, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, if not careful, disappointment sets in and confusion and questions. And then we start to question the same God that we've put our eternal hope in, because I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my light bill. It's just landing with anybody, because I know that there are times in my life that I don't have the peace that I wish that I had. Why? What is going on? Why am I still having to battle? So let's write a few things. Let's just write a few things. Number one, I want you to write this down with me. The world's peace is broken. It is broken. This idea that, man, if I just do the right things, I always get the right stuff. This idea, my 10-year-old said this to me the other day. My 10-year-old, she was talking to me. We're in my truck. She's in the back seat. And honestly, I felt like when she said it, I was like, whew, I've done it. Like, at least there's one thing I've instilled into all of my kids now, because my youngest is getting a hold of this, is that she starts to describe a scenario that's been going on at school. And she said, she was so funny. She's like, Dad, just like hear me out. I don't know how she said it, but that's what she meant. Like, don't interrupt me. Just hear me out. It's just bothersome to me because I don't think it's fair. And I know, like, she does the whole thing. Now, I can't see her because she's behind me. I'm driving. And I know that life isn't fair. And I'm like, yes. Like, something good has been instilled because life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. Even in a spiritual life, unfair things, horrible things, tragic things, difficult things, it happens, because the idea of world peace, it's a broken concept. It's a broken concept. Look at my verse. I want to show you what Jesus said. He said, peace I leave with you. Watch what he says, though. He gives some emphasis. My peace I leave with you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Jesus is creating a separation between the world's idea of peace and his. And what he's saying is, I'm going to leave a peace with you that is different. And it's not going to look like perhaps what you expect or what you want. Because, yeah, you're in this broken world, but don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid, because I'm going to leave you my peace. I'm the Prince of Peace. And he starts to define a difference in what peace can really look like. Number two, again, I'm trying to give you a mini today, that inner peace is, write it with me, it's possible. So while the world's idea of peace is broken, it's flawed, it just, fair isn't real. But at the same time, in an unfair world, in a broken society, in a point of your life in complete disappointment, frustration. In a time of your life where perhaps everything's like, I cannot believe if one more thing happens. Come on, how many times have you said that? This is, if one more thing, it's going to be the straw that breaks the, right? Like all this concept, I can't take any more. So we live in this very frayed, very fallen, very broken world that we live in. Put it back up there for me if you would. Inner peace, however, I want you to see it. I want you to believe it. It is completely possible that I can have a peace deep down within me no matter what's going on around me. And Jesus, again, or the Bible rather, says it this way in Philippians, and the peace of God, there's a difference. The peace of God, which surpasses even our understanding, it's going to guard your hearts and it's going to guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So it might be hell around you, but it can be peace within you. Amen. It can be, because inner peace is possible. The peace that Jesus gives, the peace of God, is attainable. It's something that Jesus wants to make available for us. It's something that Jesus wants to give to us. It's something that he wants us to possess and to hold, that I have something. It doesn't even make sense. I don't even understand how, with all that's going wrong, somehow on the inside, I'm anchored, I'm centered, I'm settled. I've got some sort of an inner knowing that tells me, like, it's all going to be okay, and that God is going to work this out somehow for my good. I have this concept. I love the fact, I even say it all the time, like, I don't know how people that don't walk with Jesus do it. I don't, because I lose my mind if I'm not anchored in Jesus. I lose my mind. But here's the concept. And listen, I'm only setting you up for the next couple of weeks, okay? Because next week we are going to dig into inner peace. We're going to dig in, like, what does it really look like? What does the Bible say? We're just going to get into the Word of God and talk inner peace. But here's the misconception right here. Number three, I want you to write this down, because I think some people don't understand this fully, is that peace must be fought for.
Amen.
And it sounds oxymoronic. Well, what do you mean, peace and fight? What does that mean in the same sentence? Listen, I read a book recently. There was, I think it was a chapter title, but I know that it was a thematic statement really throughout the book. And the statement goes like this, that the warrior only fights for peace. So in order to know peace, I have to, or in order to take people to peace or to experience peace, I have to know that peace is possible. And listen, it's something to fight for. Amen. It's something to battle for in the spiritual realm. There is warfare going on. Listen, Christ follower, no matter where you are on your journey, young or mature in your journey of faith, there is a spiritual war that you and I are engaged in. The Bible calls us soldiers of Christ. There is something, I don't know why I've got this warrior thing going on in my mind right now. I spoke about it when I talked about prayer. I'm talking about it right now. But warriors, we battle for peace. So the fight is to guard and maintain and protect something. We live in the greatest nation in the world. Come on, somebody. I love being an American. And I'm looking at an American flag on the sleeve of somebody sitting in row number two. And I love the fact that there are warriors that defend our peace. They fight for our freedom. And I'm thankful that men and women will put themselves in harm's way for me to have the luxuries that America gives me, the benefits of this great free land. I love the fact that somebody fights for peace.
Amen.
Come on, right? In the spiritual realm, we've got to understand that peace has to be fought for. So it's not always going to be easy. And just because you trusted Jesus doesn't mean everything becomes fair. It will still be frayed. But inner peace is possible, but it's something we have to fight for. Watch this last verse, and I'm closing. In 1 Peter 3:11, it says, turn away from evil and do good. It's a nice sentence. Amen. Turn away from evil and do good. Watch this. Try to live in peace, even if you must run after it. Look at all the verbs. Catch it and hold it. Can I just put it in my own words? Fight for it.
Yes.
Reach for it. Chase it. Catch it. Hang on to it, because it is elusive. and it's trying to get away, and there's so much going on around that sometimes I can get lost with what's going on within, but I need to be willing to soldier for Christ Jesus and say, God, I'm trusting you with what I can't do on myself. My mind is a wreck, and my emotions are in chaos, and I'm freaking out right now, but God, I'm looking to you. God, I know that you are able. God, I've got to trust you. Help me to fight. Help me to see it the way you see it. Help me to believe it the way that you see it. God, help me to understand. Give me peace that even goes beyond what I can comprehend. God, I need you. My family needs you. My friend needs you. My close friends in total distress, and I don't really know what to do. God, help me fight for them. Help me stand in the gap. Help me to be the encourager. God, help me to understand why this unfairness has become a reality in my life. God, why did this tragedy strike my home, my family, my life? God, why? What is going on? Fight for it. Fight for it. Fight for it, because it's possible to have inner peace. The peace of God. The peace that Jesus gives, not like the world, but his peace is possible. It is possible. And for time, I've got to finish, because I want to celebrate these people taking these next steps in their journey of faith so badly. And for time, what I want to do is I just want to ask everybody to bow their heads with me and close your eyes. I want to ask this question to some of you. Are you here today and never made a decision to follow Jesus, the Prince of Peace? If the answer is yes, I want to help you. I want to guide you into a decision to follow him. Will life be fair? No. You'll live in the same fight that you're living in. The only difference is you'll have something supernatural to carry you through it, even when you don't understand it. You'll have something that bridges a gap you can't bridge for yourself. You'll have something that goes beyond you. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I'm glad I know him. And I'm glad that I have him with me. And I'm glad that his peace is in me. And I fight for that peace and battle for that peace. And I wrestle to maintain the inner peace that only can come from the peace of God. And if you say, man, I need that so desperately, let me tell you something. It starts with Jesus. That is where it begins. So if you're here this morning, I want to invite you to say a prayer with me. It's a very, very simple prayer. And I'm going to lead you. I'm going to say it. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. And for your comfort, I'm going to ask every single person in this room to say it with me. Why? Because we just want you to feel confident in this declaration, confident in this invitation. So if that's you, I want you to say this prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you give God some praise right there? Would you just celebrate those who made a life change decision?
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.